Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. It is Monday, the 2nd of May. Yesterday was May Day. I know that Rosemary's a little groggy from celebrating all day yesterday, running around the Maypole as she was. And
I'm a little hungover. It's true. So's my mother, the dog. Oh, my gosh, yeah.
A successful celebration, though.
Well, yeah, considering the weather, we were hoping like we'd have 100 people running around outside, and it was cold and raining, so we stuffed like 35 or 40 in my house.
Still sounds like fun.
It was pretty fun.
What were you celebrating?
May Day.
Oh, May
and the
Day,
grand
but from
opening
a political
of,
point of view? No
parading, no parading soldiers, no missiles.
Pagan.
Yes, it was a pagan feast.
Pagan
nudity
feast.
Was not allowed. My mother drew the line at that. But we did have lots of
and
so otherwise.
For that, we thank your mother.
Yes.
Rose, now I'm glad I didn't come.
Yeah. The people were asking, will Alan Chartok be here?
Well, I got a message, but it was unclear that I was invited.
You're totally invited, and I said, if you're reading this on Facebook, you're invited.
It was unclear I was invited. I was in the big city.
So, yes, that's why.
So I couldn't come, unfortunately.
Yeah. Next year, Alan.
Okay, I'll be there.
We have a garland with your name on it.
Especially if your mother changes her mind. Mother changes her mind.
On the nudity?
Yeah, then I'm staying really far away.
Rosemary Armeo is director of the journalism program at the University at Albany. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. He's sporting a new hat. Very nice.
Yeah, I seem to have left my other hat somewhere. This is the one that I got over it when the president of Mass College of Liberal Arts got the new job, and I got this hat.
That's right.
Down
nice.
There in North Carolina. Now, you're not allowed to mention North Carolina anymore.
No.
You see what I mean?
Yes.
Yes.
But I have the hat on anyway.
That's not what that hat says.
It doesn't.
How do you feel about that?
No,
Lily?
That's a suicide prevention
not even
hat.
Talking
oh, yeah,
about
no, this one, was
yes,
given to me, this one was given to me by Mrs. Gibson,
okay,
who's the head of the Suicide Prevention Caucus in the Congress.
That we can talk about.
Oops.
Okay.
Out of the darkness.
Yes.
Right.
And Libby Post is
Hi
here,
there.
A political consultant, and is with us each and every Monday. And thank you very much for being with us. All right, let's get to the stuff. So I left here on Friday, and then, you know, I don't know, I don't, because the media people should know better than this, but Friday at 5 o'clock to issue a statement that the governor is being, what?
It's called taking out the trash.
So because, I mean, how is that supposed to gain any traction in the press if you do it at 5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon?
Well, they don't want traction in the press.
Right. I wonder how
that
works.
I think they're being ironical.
Right. Yeah, ironical.
Ironical. Oh,
sorry.
So Friday afternoon, they put out, and it sort of dominoed, but the Daily News put out an exclusive piece that the Cuomo administration had been served with subpoenas and was being investigated, with the federal prosecutors, Preparo's office, looking into whether a former senior aide to the governor, Joseph Prococo, and his wife failed to properly disclose thousands of dollars in income that they had received from a company or companies doing business with the state. And then, of course, the companies were brought into it. This brought in SUNY Poly. This brought in a whole bunch of different organizations. And then the governor said, much like I immediately thought of Chris Christie and Bridgegate,
yep,
because the governor said, I'm going to get to the bottom of this. I'm going to have my own investigation.
I love it.
So.
Okay. And we have to remember that the governor has also on several occasions said of this guy, Prococo, who he is never not together, except when he left to take a job
at Madison Square Garden.
Right. Let's remember that the governor keeps saying Prococo was my father's third kid, in other words, honorary, and we think he loved him the most.
He said that at Mario Cuomo's funeral.
He said that on several occasions.
Yes. Okay, so what do we make of this? How much is the governor in trouble? We'll try to separate, because we also, with other state officials under investigation, we also then have to go into the Bill de Blasio question. But let's start with Let's start with Cuomo. And what does this mean? Are they after the governor? Are they after the just his aide? How big will this get?
Well, are they after the governor? Does a bear poop in the woods? The answer is yeah. I think that it'll go where it goes. If you said to Preet Bharara, are you after the governor? He said, absolutely not. On the other hand, if it turns out that Prococo was doing what he is accused of doing, and if there was skullduggery going on, then the question always becomes, what did you know and when did you know it? I think in the same way that the governor of New Jersey got away with it, you know, it's almost impossible to believe that everybody in that group knew about it, but he didn't know about it. Is it really possible that the guy you described as being your brother and the third child of Mario didn't tell you if he was doing something? But you got to get him to say that, and I have a feeling he never will. That's my bet.
How would you like Preet Bharara looking into every piece of paper connected with work you've done on a major project?
Yeah.
I think that there's cause for great concern for beyond, including him, but beyond Prococo. I think the head of SUNY Poly should be a little bit nervous about this. I think that the governor should also be nervous, even though, as Alan says, he's not going to be the stated target. That's what's really at stake. This is exactly the sort of criminal investigation that this attorney, U.S. attorney, has made a great career at. And if there is anything there, we will find it out.
Let's talk about Prococo for one more minute.
Go ahead.
Interestingly, what was it that brought Shelley Silver down? A Schmagegi doctor.
Right. A Schmagegi doctor.
Right?
Yeah.
Who traded him.
Right.
You send me money, and I'll send you patients to that thing.
So
you would think they could do a little bit better.
With
all of those years, they could have done a little better than that. But that's the one they had, and you work with what you got.
Right.
So I promise to let you in on this, Libby, but I just have a question about if one were a conspiracy theorist, and I'm just interested in the looking at how this whole thing unfolded.
Sure.
So you're Preet Bharara's office.
Yeah.
And you say, okay, we're not going to look into the Moreland Commission. We're going to give that up. We don't see at this time. We don't feel we have the information. We're not going to. Do you think that is a calculated decision that says, oh, well, this will lighten things up a little bit to allow us to go deeper into an investigation into the administration?
Hmm. No, I don't think so. I think they did their best. I'm still thinking, this thing gets very complicated. I'm thinking about Hillary Clinton being asked whether she would reappoint Preet Bharara. Now, what's interesting about that, and she said, I'm not looking at any of that right now, sending shockwaves through everybody. First thing you would say is if you were running for president of the United States and you knew there was this great U.S. attorney who was doing all this incredibly important work, you would say, well, you know, he's doing a terrific job, which he did say, by the way. But she also said, I'm not going to be doing that now. But Chuck Schumer is the point here. Huh? Well, Chuck Schumer was the boss of Preet Bharara. Chuck Schumer appointed Preet Bharara to the U.S. attorney's thing. Most people don't know that it's the senior senator of the same party who makes the appointments to the federal appointments, both to the judgeships and to the U.S. attorney's job. And therefore,
so when Barack Obama was elected president,
it's getting complicated, isn't it? Yeah,
no.
I'm sorry. Okay, so Barack Obama was elected president. Chuck Schumer says, "Here's your U.S. attorney, Preet Bharara." Now, is Chuck Schumer going to stand behind him? And there is talk, substantial talk, about Preet Bharara becoming the next Attorney General of the United States.
Well, you don't think that Andrew Cuomo's support of Hillary Clinton plays a role in her wanting to stay out of this as long as possible?
I certainly think that's a possibility.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure. It's a little bit alarming.
I'm not sure it's as convoluted as, well, alarming. I mean, really, have any presidential candidates looked as low as the U.S. attorney level on who they're going to keep and who they're going to go? I think she's got cover on that.
At this point in the game,
that would
no.
be, yeah.
Well, this is some U.S. attorney.
Yeah. You sent out some an U.S. article.
This is a hero who has had the guts to go after the powerful and not to pull back. I just am alarmed about this. I think it was a bad signal on Hillary's part.
So there was a major article in The New Yorker. Alan sent it out this weekend, but it's been making the rounds, of course, Jeffrey Toobin writing about Preet Bharara. And one of the things that it talks about is how good he is, because normally the investigations are under
right.
wraps. Nobody would
right.
talk. Nobody would say anything, everything, you know, and then all of a sudden, boom. But that he is very good with the media.
Yep.
He's very good about releasing things. And, yes, very, very, very good at releasing certain information at certain times, getting people worried, getting people, you know, stay tuned, of course, being the most famous of them. And so when we saw this Friday night, well, by Saturday morning, I mean, pretty much every name had been named. I mean, every source that had right. Been involved in this thing had talked in one way or another. And so it's interesting to see where that will go. And because what we do know about the past investigations is when we've gotten to this point where the subpoenas are given, it's still going to be several months before we really
right.
know anything.
Right.
Right. On the other hand, the fact that they've put it out there, that the U.S.
right.
attorney's put it out there, is very dramatic.
And damaging.
And let me tell you,
yes.
there's a second thing here. If you are looking at justice in New York State politics, you are not going to get brought to justice unless you are a bottom feeder. By the state political apparatus. It's the feds who do the work. And that's why we're lucky that we have this dual system of justice, that the feds can go after people who the state, you know, doesn't want to do it because it's just too dangerous.
Well, I personally am interested in seeing what Cuomo's investigation will come up with.
Well, it ain't going to come up with him.
I mean, if only he had a commission to look into it.
Yeah, that would be a good idea.
How about he has a way he can do that? He can set up a Moreland Act commission.
Yeah, it's as simple as that.
And meanwhile, what is the legislature doing on reform? What's out there to prevent this?
Well,
from
they're not going to do it. They've got themselves a speaker who had been the boss of the Bronx, Boss Hasty.
I like that name, Boss of the Bronx.
Mm-hmm. He had been Boss of the Bronx, and now he's Boss of the Assembly. So it's Boss Hasty in both places, and he's got to carry their mail for them, their hot water for them.
It's like Lion Ted and Little Roop and Little Marco.
Yes, I did.
Boss of the Bronx. That was good.
I did that. But he was the Boss of the Bronx. That's where they got him from.
Okay, so we have about 4 minutes, so let's talk about Mayor de Blasio.
Oh, yes.
Okay. But we have the chance. So meanwhile, this figure is also under investigation, and it seems to be from many different fronts, doesn't it?
Well, it does. It does seem, again, whether the question then becomes is Were the de Blasio people, in order to fund an election so that the Democrats would win the state Senate, or a series of elections so the Democrats would win the state Senate, were they doing anything different, taking money from one pot, putting it into another pot? Apparently, the accusation here is that they were. And this brings us right back to Shelley Silver and Dean Skelos, where a lot of people thought that Preet Bharara was moving the line, but Preet Bharara told me, you will all remember, no, I wasn't moving the line. I was just enforcing the law for the first time. And there's a question. Now, I happen to know some of the people in the de Blasio administration, and I'm telling you that this is one of those cases where they do seem to have the people under the microscope who are the aides to de Blasio, just like the Cuomo thing. The question is, and has been all along, does it reach de Blasio?
Right. What's your gut feeling on that?
Well, it depends. I mean, I don't know I don't understand what political loyalty, you know, is. I'm saying in the Cuomo case, I would bet the ranch Prococo, if he has done what he's accused of having done, or what looks like he may be done, is it will never turn on Cuomo. I just don't believe it.
So,
but in the case of the newbies who are backing the mayor of New York, who isn't used to the handling of political power the same way, I don't know.
And if you also are being investigated as the mayor of New York and do not have the governor behind you, is that
that's a little dicey.
Yes, and as Rosemary is just mumbling, the question is, who dropped the dime on the mayor?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it could have been, you know, anybody, but it could have been a person in high political office.
Yes.
Boy, de Blasio has really had a terrible administration, hasn't he? It's been one problem and controversy after another.
And some, you know, the thing with the state Senate stuff, it's like, this is like, it was business as usual until somebody says it's not business as usual anymore.
That's all right.
And
Exactly right.
And it was bizarre because everybody supposedly, you know, wanted to rally around the flag to make sure that the Democrats took back the Senate except for one particular player.
Yes, and that one particular player, we think, is Andrew Cuomo, who really always likes having a Republican Senate just like his papa did.
Yeah. So, you know, it's an interesting thing, but I do think that the de Blasio kids are not as seasoned.
No, you're exactly right. Yeah. They are not as seasoned.
Yeah, so.
And you know, de Blasio offers a difference of philosophy in how you run New York City. There are a lot of people. I was working out the other day, and a woman was working out on a treadmill near me, and she said, I'm never going to vote for him again. And I said, why not? She said, because he doesn't care about my safety, and safety comes first.
Well, he sort of was the accidental mayor.
Yeah, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We have letters on this. We'll talk about it, and then we'll continue on with other subjects as well. It's our roundtable panel, Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Libby Post making up the group this morning. We do welcome your comments, roundtable at WAMC.org. It's as simple as that, roundtable at WAMC.org, and we'll get to all of that and much more fun and frivolity after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable. That was one of our better gossipy breaks, wasn't it? Yeah.
Oh, darn. Now we got to do the show again.
Right.
My favorite was the president talking about how in the last election against Hillary, she said, would he be able to answer the calls at 3
o'clock? Context. Mm-hmm. You have to give people a context about what you're talking about.
White House correspondence.
Right.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. And he said, well, and now, of course, I'm up at 3 o'clock in the morning because I, you know, I have to go to the bathroom.
Right.
I'm older.
That was a great line.
He had so many great lines. It was very, very good. A lot of people have been talking about Larry Wilmore, the host of the Comedy Central program, and I really think it was. First of all, it's really tough to follow.
Yes, it really is.
He was so on target. But Wilmore did well against.
I thought he did. I mean, they didn't like him in the room. Well, you know, here's the problem with this.
It was like Colbert. Colbert was not liked when he was hitting on.
There's a great article.
I saw the first 5 minutes of Wilmore. I thought it was flat and not funny. So I said, okay, fine. I don't need to watch any more of this. I'll go back because I have it on
DVR.
We need you to give
an opinion on the whole thing.
Okay, fine.
Well, he won my eternal gratitude by saying the words, Don Lemon, alleged journalist.
No, and did you see what Lemon did in
and
the audience?
And then Lemon flipped him off.
Well,
with a smile, but he flipped him off. He was so right on that.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
Lemon is an
idiot. Obama did the whole thing about Jake Tapper. Which
he left journalism to
join CNN.
CNN.
That was hilarious.
And then, of course, Larry Wilmore also had the was talking about drones. And just speaking of drones, Wolf Blitzer is here.
And boy.
And Wolf Blitzer, you did not find that funny.
Right. No. I saw that, and it was
maybe he'll
like
run for president next cycle.
Daggers. I mean, that is like a thin-skinned bunch of people, man.
My favorite part when he goes, but seriously, and he launches into how good the president plan, and then he stops. He goes, nah, we're going to talk about Trump. Did you think I would not talk about Trump?
All right. Well, I want to get back to some of the other stuff. Because we've been talking about the governor, which by the way, here's what we found. Alan and I talk about this all the time. You talk about, people say, oh, all you talk about is Trump. All you talk about is Trump. But we get 3 billion letters.
Right.
Well, so we've been talking about a federal investigation into the administration of our governor. And what do we get? How many letters? Three, four?
Yeah, nothing. Virtually nothing.
So it's I find that interesting, yeah. You know, so you kind of go on that. But
sure.
Then there is also the story that came in over the weekend where the Attorney General of New York has the authority to investigate the fatal police shooting of a man in the upstate city of Troy last month, according to an order issued on Sunday by Governor Andrew Cuomo. The order amended a broader directive issued last year by Mr. Cuomo that empowered the Attorney General, Eric Schneiderman, to investigate and prosecute in deadly encounters involving the police. Mr. Cuomo, a Democrat, revised the earlier order to authorize Mr. Schneiderman to explore possible unlawful acts or omissions related to the death in Troy of Edson Thevenin. Last week, Mr. Schneiderman sued District Attorney Joel Abelov of Rensselaer County over case files related to the death, who was fatally shot on April 17th by an officer who the authorities say Thevenin had trapped between two cars after a chase.
It's just a stunning case. I mean, it's such an act of insubordination that this local prosecutor, who didn't like the law when it was passed, and criticized it with some really good points. It's a very vague law. It has some problems. It's never been used before. He ends up with a case in his own jurisdiction, and he snaps to a grand jury. He did it in record time and clears this cop of any wrongdoing. And now, who knows if it's true, but there's talk that there is actual video of what happened. There are witnesses who say they were never brought before the grand jury. His process is in question. And Schneiderman is saying he wants a piece of this. But can he really have it now? If a grand jury has cleared somebody, can you bring him back? I guess some lawyers will have to decide that. It isn't exactly double jeopardy, but it's pretty near.
Well, I don't know, because it's not a jury of your peers.
Yeah, it's...
So it's a grand jury. You can always go back to a grand jury.
I don't know.
I don't know that. I don't know that, because a grand jury comes back with a clean bill, and then someone higher up is going to say, nah, we're going to look at it.
But then you can go back with new evidence.
Or a new crime.
Yeah.
So I see this on Law and Order all the time.
Right. And also, we were just talking about The Good Wife. It's the same thing.
A new crime.
But the act of that local prosecutor was just so bold and flagrant. And I guess there's not much you can do about that if you're the Schneiderman.
Oh,
I
think there's things
that
could be done here. Including the political process, including his standing for office again.
Yeah.
But remember that he is playing to his constituency in clearing the guy. So
it's the Troy Police Department, and they are rife with problems.
What's your email address? So is
what
you said? Oh yeah, it's the Troy Police Department.
Yeah.
I wanted people to remember to write you a note.
Right. They're rife with problems. The Troy Police Department. So.
All right. So we have a. Do you want to get to the few letters that we have?
Yeah, we got a ton of letters.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, here we go. I'll go fast. Okay. John says, I love the show and listen every day, but I have to admit I'm starting to roll my eyes every time any negative story about Hillary comes up, and one of you always looks at her through rosemary-colored glasses. Please be a tad more subjective. I don't think you mean subjective. I think you mean
objective.
Yeah. Okay. And
well, Obama got a few digs in on her last night. In fact, people were wondering if it was negative, although he did refer to the next president as she.
Yeah, right.
He did that hysterical thing about her on social media. Yeah. Like, did you get my poke? Is it up
Aunt
on your
Hillary.
Wall?
Aunt Hillary.
And so she sent a note to him today saying, good job. And she signed it, Aunt Hillary.
And he also did the voice, too, which
he
I thought was
did.
Great.
He did. So there you go. There's my jab at Hillary.
Cool. Okay. Annie says, good morning to all. I just want to thank you for the wisdom you share with us listeners. Great show and panel. But Rosemary, happy Beltane and blessed be. And Rosemary, happy Beltane and blessed be. Annie, okay.
That
just
we heard
volunteer.
From the pagan element.
Yes. I got it. Hi, Libby. I'm always reminding my girls context. You need to provide context for your audience. Okay. And let's see here. W says, with the death of entertainer Prince, roundtable panel spend time discussing his work and contribution to art. I believe the pacifist and social activist Daniel Berrigan's passing on Saturday should warrant similar recognition by the panel. He was a hero of mine. His life was dedicated to the well-being of all people. He will be missed, and that's Bill in Kinderhook. Okay.
Thank you, Bill. That is a good letter. He was a really brave man who stood up for peace at a time when it was not cool.
And that's why we do letters to the editor. Yeah. That's why we do our letters, so that you can have your say. You see that? Don't you understand? Don't you see? I'm out of town, so missed opening discussion. Pleased to hear you are talking about federal attorney investigation into de Blasio and Governor Cuomo. I wrote last week, read the effects on local progressive polls. Thanks for digging into this matter. Maybe Rosemary's students can work on it. Matt from UC. Okay, and Jamie says, I'm sorry, Roundtable, but the glib attitude I sense from the panel regarding the Republican zombie project undertaken in the state Senate, implemented on certain Democrats that certainly have been drinking the water on Staten Island, undermines how serious this betrayal can be. And why are you afraid to say our illustrious governor has found a new way to throw de Blasio under the bus?
Didn't I say that?
Oh, please, take it back. Considering how often he amuses himself with such action, it's amazing the mayor has time to get anything done. That's from Jamie. And Ted says, are you not going to mention the State Board of Elections campaign finance investigation connection between de Blasio and Teach Out? Or is it just about Preet Bharara and Cuomo? You said it. We read it. Brian says, De Blasio came in with such promise, campaign against aggressive police tactics, stop and frisk. He stopped the cops, and the criminal types now think they have carte blanche. Fear of crime beats actual crime rates. All right. And let's see. Mike, we heard from Mike about Abelov. Tom says, as an aside to this, do you think that, that Peter Florek, governor of Illinois,
I can't read this.
Because this is a spoiler. But let's just say that what Tom wants to know is there any connection between the fate of Peter Florek in The Good Wife and Andrew Cuomo. Is that okay, Joe?
On CBS.
Yeah.
Final episode, Sunday
next
at 9.
Week, right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. What happened? Joe had a drinking incident.
It went down the wrong pipe.
Yes.
Wrong pipe. Hold your hands up in the air like this.
You want me to come hit your back?
I'm going to turn my mic off. Go ahead.
and Stephen says, Trump, no message. Just needed a Donald fix. Okay.
That's funny.
Yeah. Thanks. No. Okay. Feed. There's just a 5-second delay between the visual and audio levels on live video. That's correct. So, okay. We use a different video stream host. I'll give them a shout, says Ray, who is on the job. Oh boy. I'm going down the list here, Joe, but I think.
All right, that's fine.
We haven't talked about Trump, so we don't have that many letters.
Well, here's one. So long, Ted. Ted's obit may be a bit premature, but after not even being mentioned by Obama at the correspondents' dinner, it sure looks like he's at the end of his tether. That's lying, Ted.
It was Kasich who said he doesn't even have the poll ratings to rank his own joke. It wasn't. Didn't he say anything? I'm not certain of anything about Cruz.
Yeah, Obama.
Was eating a pancake.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly. Right. But did he say anything about Cruz? That's what this letter writer said. If he did, wow, I'm not remembering it. Maybe right.
I thought he did, but I have to.
Yeah, see, we're not thinking about it.
We did get a letter from Stephen who said what is that hum? Do we know what that hum is? Okay, that's all right. That's fine. So Stephen wrote and said his subject heading is Trump, and then it says no message, just needed a Donald fix.
Yes, yes. While you were coughing, I read that.
I apologize.
No, that's
I was
no problem.
Still
internally focused.
I was still drowning in coffee.
I'm no one to talk.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just glad that the camera faces us.
Yeah, I know. Me too. Absolutely. All right. So let's take a break. And,
this has been a great show. Probably not for the listeners, but wow.
Pretty fun, isn't it? We'll take a break. When we come back, we will get into some other stuff. We'll talk politics. We'll talk about that. And I want to check the transcript and find out what the Ted Cruz joke was. We'll be back after this.
Support comes from Pelham Auto Service at the Amherst-Belchertown line, located by the sign of the Flying Pig, a worker-owned and operated service, repairing foreign cars since 1972. PelhamAuto.com. The Vascular Group, specializing in vascular health with 10 locations in upstate New York, bringing internationally recognized care to your hometown, AlbanyVascular.com. Third Eye Associates Limited, life planning, transition planning, and wealth management, registered investment advisors with offices in New York City, Washington, D.C., and the Hudson Valley, ThirdEyeAssociates.com. And from Hudson Beach Glass, Beacon, a contemporary glass and jewelry gallery, plus a hand-blown glass studio and fine art upstairs, HudsonBeachGlass.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to the panel discussion. Okay.
Sound check.
Sound check. We're all good. And so we did.
We found the Cruz joke.
That's
Obama
right.
did make a Cruz joke.
And it was about Cruz not calling it a basketball hoop, but calling it a basketball ring. And going
goes,
into Indiana.
What else is in his lexicon? Yeah, he said
baseball sticks.
I love that, football hats. And then he pauses with that perfect comic timing and goes, yeah, but I'm the foreign one.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was a great joke.
Really was.
Very, very good joke. Okay. So we got that out of the way. Alan, did you have more letters or did you?
Okay. Roger wants to know, what happened to the urgent issue of the Supreme Court nominee? President Obama on Saturday made this the focus of his radio talk. Does contacting senators on this issue really do any good? Oh, I'll tell you, it does any good, but not here in New York. It has to be the guys out there, the Republicans, you know, who are facing electoral office and potential defeat over this issue. And some of them are sort of coming around, not really coming around, saying, OK, I'll talk to them. But that doesn't mean I'll change my opinion as to whether or not the party should allow this to go forward.
And I did like when Obama, again, last night, called on security to close the doors, bar the doors, because some of those Republican senators were at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. He goes, we're going to settle this right now. We're going to have this talk right here.
Let's get it in.
And Ray says, R-E-Y, much better when you talk about news. Where's Ray? Ray's right in the next room there. He'll be back.
What else do we talk about except news?
I don't know. We talk about...
Well, you're every coming and going. Alan's every coming and going we talk about. I know. We can't talk about May Day anymore.
Oh, okay. All right.
No,
we talked
May
a
Day.
Lot about the president, you know, investigations into the governor and all that. That's news, right? Just checking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's talk about... We do want to talk about politics in our final moments. Of course, the Indiana vote is looming. And... Well, Ted Cruz, his support is fading, and it is fading fast, and he is at least 15 points behind in the polls, and many people have said that if those numbers
sorry,
I discovered what the thing was.
No, it's still there.
It's not there right now, and it's,
hold on. Okay. Yes, listen. Yeah, that's still there.
Okay, Libby, I want you to just type out a sentence on your thing.
Yeah, but that's her thumping. Okay.
This is exciting radio.
Yeah, that's yes. right.
Radio verite.
This is how radio is made.
Meanwhile, Joe, cough.
Meanwhile, back
coughing,
at
typing.
The ranch.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
Right.
Okay,
Superman
so.
Came out of the cave.
So, Ted Cruz.
Yeah, I think he's.
Toast?
Toast. I mean, you get called Lucifer in the flesh by one of the leading members of your
yep.
party. Trump is just having a field day with Cruz jokes. And then Carly Fiorina doesn't help either. She's singing in weird
nursery rhymes.
Well,
who thought that would help, though?
He did. He thought, well, look, the guy hasn't thought well enough to become president. We know that, right? I mean, he keeps making mistakes. So the first thing is he gets her. She's a woman. Therefore,
right.
all you women.
Yeah. All
you
women.
Will all be happy
right.
now.
I've taken care of the women issue.
Yeah. Yeah, let's take care of the women thing. And that she's more popular in California, where he really needs the help. So
by the way, more popular in California. She loses a race there and then moves.
Yeah.
She doesn't like the outcome. She moves to the other side of the country.
It was a Hail Mary pass. That's what it was. And an ill-informed one.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I personally don't like him, so I don't like to ascribe motives to him, to a guy I don't like, because what can I tell you?
Yeah.
He's not that smart.
I'm a gun to the header.
I would say
gun to the head meaning.
I would say he's in serious trouble, though, wouldn't you?
Yeah, yeah. Gun to the header meaning you get a choice. You have a choice, otherwise I'm going to shoot you.
Pick one.
Trump or Cruz.
Yeah.
Does it seem relatively, does it seem a safe call that if Trump does win Indiana handily, which he is expected to, that...
It's over.
It's... pretty much over. And
I think it's pretty much over now.
There will be no contested convention, and you'll have the numbers to go in.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's over. I think it's over now, and I love the way journalists are always saying, if this one goes...
Well, you have to have the vote. I mean, he still needs the numbers, and he'll have the momentum, and I don't know what Cruz will do, but I can't imagine... Rosemary brought this up, very good point up last week, which is... Okay, but at what point is he really damaging his career? What is he going to do after this?
Well, in Texas, apparently they don't care. But I do really wonder whether or not they will have the unmitigated chutzpah and gall in order to stop Trump, to have somebody stand up. Oh, my God.
No,
why is this happening?
This is like we've choreographed this show. Isn't it smooth
I'll tell you who it was. It was Bill's Pharmacy telling me my prescription was ready.
Oh, good.
Oh, good.
Excellent.
We're so happy for you.
We are better when we talk about the news. I just want to remind you.
Okay, but...
Not your yes.
But do they... Is somebody going to have the unmitigated gall and chutzpah to stand up day one in order to stop Trump and say... By the way, Mr. Chairman, let's amend the rules to make it you need to have 3/4 to be nominated.
Mm-hmm.
They will really lose a lot.
They're going to lose a lot anyway.
Yeah,
but I want to know what the party apparatus is going to do. What Reince Priebus, what the RNC is really going to do if he becomes the nominee. Are they going to get behind him, or are they just going to turn the other cheek and go someplace
Let me
else?
Just go a step before that, uh-huh. which is the article that was in the Times yesterday that says that the not me question is...
Yeah, right. No, thanks.
Who is going to be right. Trump's running mate? And so far, everybody... I don't want it.
Forget that admiral. Forget the admiral who ran
with Stockdale.
Did you read the George Will column who said, okay, we got to get this guy. It'll rip the party apart if we don't. But then we don't have to really back him strongly. We just kind of back away and get ready.
Okay, here's my question to all of you.
Yes.
What happens if there's a 25-point difference between him and Hillary when they take off, right? Okay, what happens if there's this 25-point, she's beating him by 25 points, and then day after day, week after week, he starts to get closer and closer and closer. Would they rather have Hillary or would they rather have Trump?
I think they'd rather have Hillary.
I think they'd rather have Trump because they got all those nominations, as I said before, you know, the federal judges, all of the other people. I think they're going to learn to live with Trump if he gets it close.
Except that he can't be controlled by them.
Yes, I understand. That's what everybody says to me. But I don't quite get that. I mean, I don't quite understand how far that goes or what it means. Give me an example, for example.
I don't think he will... If he becomes president and they say, we want you to do X, Y, and Z, he's not going to do
No,
that.
But I want to know what the X, Y, and Z are.
We want you to appoint 4 conservative Republicans to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, he won't
do
that.
He won't do it.
Yeah.
Which will get him,
assuming that he says something like that in the campaign, more Democratic votes.
Yeah, maybe.
I think, unlike everybody else, I still think that Trump can win this thing.
Oh, not unlike everyone else. I'm worried about it.
Yeah.
I think Trump is... Hillary is so disliked. In fact, Trump is the only one more disliked. And he will draw on the same people in the Democratic Party who have helped him in the Republican primaries.
Hillary is, for all we know, an establishment person. She is. She represents the mainstream of the Democratic Party.
Which used to be a dirty word, but is in this election series.
So there are millions of Americans now who want something different. They don't know a lot, but let's say they want something different. So in one party, millions of Americans wanted Bernie. In the other party, millions of Americans wanted Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what Hillary can't get out from under the fact that she's a responsible Democratic politician.
Responsible being the operative word.
Well, it is.
Yeah.
It's
true.
It's
she just doesn't have his charisma, I'm sorry to say. She said
herself.
Well,
they've been
giving
her lessons.
Well, and then she uses the charisma lessons and they'll say, oh, she's not authentic. She's been coached. She can't win. And Trump gets up there. And I mean, I hate what he stands for. I hate everything that comes out of his mouth. And yet I find myself laughing at him sometimes. He's very good with
exactly.
the camera.
And if that's true about
really
you,
good.
Rosemary.
Right, exactly.
All right, we're out of time, officially.
Oh, wow.
I know. But we'll be back tomorrow, and we'll talk more about all of this good stuff. We welcome your letters, roundtable at WAMC.org. You're listening to The Roundtable. More coming up.